168 in your hymn book. 168 in your hymn book. 168 on the page 245. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire, send the fire. The blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host, give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost, send the fire, send the fire. May that be the burden, the prayer of our hearts tonight, that God would pour out His Spirit upon us, pour out that Spirit from on high upon us in prayer and around His Word in reviving grace. 168, we'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing. Look to the Lord in prayer, praying for the Lord's help and His presence and His blessing tonight to be our portion, each one. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we gather before Thee tonight, and we come in and through the Saviour's name, through the name of Thine only begotten Son, He who is Emmanuel, a God with us. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ came to this world. We thank Thee that He died for our sins upon the cross. We thank Thee, Father, that He poured out His life unto death. He gave up the ghost. He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And Father, we thank Thee for that redeeming blood that He shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all our sin, that makes us whiter than the snow and fits us for heaven. And Father, we rejoice tonight as thy people in the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. We do rejoice, O God, in the great riches of thy grace, grace that is sufficient for our every need. We rejoice tonight in thy people, in thine abiding presence with us as the people of God. We thank that Christ has promised his people, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased, never to be blotted out, that we have before us a great prize and a great hope. And Father, we thank thee tonight for the mercies of the Lord that finds us here in the house of the Lord tonight to praise thee, to worship thee, to listen to thy word, and to pray and to seek thy face. And Lord, this is because of thy goodness, because of thy grace toward us in each and every one of our lives. And tonight, Lord, we would confess before thee, like Paul of old, that we are what we are by the grace of God. And Father, we just thank thee for all thy mercies to us throughout today, for every temporal mercy, every good and every perfect gift, our health, our strength, our food and raiment, our homes, our Lord, for all the blessings of life, every good and every perfect gift that thou dost give to us from the bountiful hand of God. And we give thee thanks, O God. Thou hast said that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And we thank thee for all the blessings and mercies of God, and for the privilege tonight of fellowship with the people of God around thy word. And we realize, O God, there's many parts of our world tonight where Christians cannot meet in this fashion. They cannot meet in freedom and liberty. Lord, they meet in secret. They meet in fear. They often meet, Lord, with, concern about being persecuted for their faith. Yet, Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that the lines have fallen unto us here in pleasant places, that we have indeed a goodly heritage, and that we can come tonight, Lord, to praise thee, that the door of the house of God is opened. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless our coming together. Grant us a gracious sense of thy presence. Lord, close us in, Lord, with thyself tonight. Lord, cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's precious blood. Bless us around thy precious word tonight. Do speak to our hearts. And Lord, may we be like Mary of old, who sat at the feet of the Savior, who heard his word. Give us grace not only to hear thy word, but Lord, give us grace to obey thy word and to live it out in our hearts and lives, O God, a day by day we ask. We thank the Lord that thy word is truth, that it is forever settled in heaven, and that, Lord, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We thank thee for the wonderful privilege tonight of prayer, that as thy people we can seek the mighty God of Jacob, the mighty God of heaven. We can call thee Abba, our Father, and we can bring our needs and our cares to thee in prayer. And Lord, the hymn writer could say, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Help us tonight to pray. Take away any fear or barrier or hindrance tonight. Help us to pray in faith. Help us to pray, Lord, with that boldness that comes from the Lord. And Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised that it is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. Do us good tonight, Lord. And may each one of us go home from this prayer meeting rejoicing that we've met with God, rejoicing, Lord, that we've heard thy voice, knowing the blessing of the Lord afresh in our hearts and in our souls. Remember any that cannot come tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity, we pray that thou would bless them, minister to their needs, we ask of thee. For those who mourn, who grieve, comfort their hearts, and others who cannot be here because of other works of necessity and mercy, Lord, bless them and minister to them also by the grace of God divine. Remember all the families connected with our congregation. The Lord bless the need and meet the need of every home. Unite all our family circles in the Lord. Again, we thank thee for thy presence and blessing amongst us last Lord's Day, and all who heard thy word morning and evening. And Lord, just speak on, especially in the hearts of those that were in unsaved, and that such would be made wise, O God, unto salvation, we pray. Remember our land tonight for good, bless other prayer meetings such as this, missions on, gospel meetings, Lord, ministry meetings, Lord. Bless every faithful witness, Lord, for thee, up and down the length and breadth of our land. Bless thy word, build thy church, and extend thy kingdom, O God, we pray. Bless us now, we ask of thee. Take away every distraction that is not of thee. And Lord, bless us around thy word, and help us tonight to pray, and do our hearts much good, and glorify the Savior in all that will be said and done this night. We pray for his sake and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. And we're reading from verse 13 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. While you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us this evening. And we pray the Lord will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember, please, the meetings on the Lord's Day. Pray for God's blessing upon them. Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7 p.m. And the will of the Lord, we belong to bring God's word. Pray for the meetings. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's holy word. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, beginning our reading at the verse number 13. Here we have the Apostle Paul again speaking to the believers in the Thessalonian church, and he says in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Amen. Ending a reading there, verse 20, and may God bless this reading of his word to all our hearts. Now, it's very evident from reading through 1 Thessalonians that the church here was going through a time of testing. If you go back to chapter 1 and the verse number 6, you'll see that there very clearly, where it says in chapter 1, verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost." Notice those words there, much affliction. That word affliction really means pressure from outward circumstances. In other words, forces were arrayed against these believers in Christ in this church in Thessalonica. If you turn over there to chapter 2, to our Bible reading tonight, to verse number 14, look at what it says there. It says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also," notice it, "have suffered like things of your own countrymen." Notice the word suffered. These were suffering saints, and that word suffered there really speaks of not only physical suffering, but also has the thought of mental or emotional turmoil and pain and heartache. And these people, yes, they endured physical sufferings, but also their mind was in great turmoil because of circumstances arrayed against them. Go on over to 2 Thessalonians, over a page or two in your Bible, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then look at verse number 4, and notice the words there that are mentioned. It says, "So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith." And then note the words, "In all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." Note those words there, tribulations and persecutions. The word persecution there really means to be driven out. Those forces arrayed against these Christians as were to drive them out of where they lived. The word persecution there also is the thought of being rejected because of their faith in Christ. Here are people who are being rejected and ostracized by others. Again, the word tribulation there, as we find it there in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4, it really means pressure through affliction. There was great pressure being put upon these people to turn away from the Lord. It's interesting to note there that the word persecutions and tribulations, notice it, both those words are in the plural. And that really shows to you and I the force and indeed the intensity of the opposition that was waging against these believers in Christ here in the church at Thessalonica. This was their background. This was their setting as believers, as a church. This was the world against them as Christians. And yes, there was much opposition. There was testing. They were going through the fiery trial. They were being, as it were, sifted for their faith. But the wonderful thing to note here, and we see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and chapter 2, that despite such severe testings and trials, we see that these believers, and indeed Paul himself, in the midst of all this, they had joy. Joy was reflected in their life and in their witness and in their testimony. Look again at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse number 6. You'll see reference made to that joy. Paul says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Notice it, "with joy of the Holy Ghost." There was trials, there was opposition, but they had joy in their heart. And even Paul himself had that joy. Paul himself had suffered much for the cause of the gospel, but he had joy in his heart. And so look at what he says there at the end of our Bible reading tonight, in verses 19 and 20 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, "For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And there Paul speaks of joy in his own heart and in his soul. As he writes this letter, he speaks of joy in the heart of these believers in Thessalonica who are being severely tested and tried for their faith. Yes, brethren and sisters in Christ tonight, believer in the meeting tonight, in this world, yes, we too have many trials. These are things we cannot escape. We have many afflictions, with many troubles of one kind or another that come our way. And even because of our Christian faith, we can find ourselves opposed, hindered, maybe even ostracized by others. The Bible says, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." The Lord warned his disciples. He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." These are things we cannot escape. This is bearing the cross for Christ as we follow after our Lord and Savior. But brethren and sisters in Christ, in the midst of such adversity, yes, we too can know joy. Joy just as these believers in Thessalonica witnessed and did have in the day of the Apostle Paul. And that being the case then, it's important for us to consider, I believe, the source of the believers' joy here in these Christians at Thessalonica. What was the source of their joy? What was the cause of their joy as Christians at such a time? Well, first of all, we can say tonight that the Thessalonians had joy through the Word of God affecting their lives. Look at what Paul says to them here in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice carefully what he says. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. This was something that Paul thanked God for as he thought of these Christians. He says, because, notice it, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Notice what he says here. Here were a people, and they received the word of God. And this was the source, one of the sources of joy in their hearts at a time of great need. They received the word of God. They believed the word of God, and they obeyed the word of God. It says there, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God had an effect in their whole life and manner as Christians. They received it, they obeyed it, they believed it, they lived it out. And my, the word of God, yes, was a source of great joy, great consolation. The Bible talks about the comfort of the Scriptures. And the Bible here was a source of great joy to them in the battles and trials of life. And there's a lesson there for us as Christians. Child of God, yes, it's by you and I also receiving God's word, believing God's word, obeying God's word, that we too will know joy and comfort and consolation in the battles and the trials of life. Turn with me back, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. It's a great psalm all about the word of God and the richness of the word of God. And I want you to see what the psalmist says. Go down to near the end of the psalm to verse 162, and then verse 165. Look at what he says about the effect of the word of God. He says in verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. He says in verse 163 there, thy law do I love. In verse 165, he says, great peace have they which love thy law. And that was the effect of the word of God. In the life of the psalmist, there was joy, there was peace, there was consolation, there was comfort, there was blessing in the trials of life. And likewise, dear Christian, tonight, in the pressures of life, I encourage you tonight, believer, to hold fast to the word of God. Read the Scriptures day by day. Meditate upon the Scriptures. Think upon the word of God. Pray over the word of God and plead the promises of God in prayer. And in doing so, Christian, you'll find joy. You'll find help. You'll find encouragement. You'll find strength to go on in your Christian life and to go on serving the Lord. There's great joy for us in the word of God. Speaking of God's word, the hymn writer penned these words. Speaking of the Scriptures, they said, here springs of consolation rise to cheer the fainting mind, and thirsting souls receive supplies and sweet refreshment find. And that's what we find in the Scriptures, consolation, refreshment for our souls, comfort for our hearts. Turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And here you see the effect that the Scriptures had on the two grieving disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their hearts were sad. They were downcast after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ met with them by the way, and he spoke to them. And I want you to see here the word of God had a tremendous effect upon them. Look at verse 32 of Luke chapter 24. Look at what they say. This is their testimony as a result of meeting with Christ, hearing his word. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Notice their hearts burned within them. My, there was a joy, there was a comfort, there was a consolation. Yes, the Thessalonian Christians had joy through the word of God. Something else to note here in our Bible reading tonight The Thessalonians also had joy through fellowship with God's people, through fellowship with the saints of God. Look again at what Paul says to these Christians in verses 14 and verses 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Remember the background, they're in trial, they're going through testing, they're being persecuted. He says in verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also," notice that little phrase there, "ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us." What was Paul doing here? Paul here was reminding the Thessalonian Christians that they were not alone in their trials. He was reminding them here that they were not, as it were, isolated. They were not the only ones going through times of trial and testing. He tells them here about other believers. He speaks of those in Judea, and he speaks of other believers who also were suffering for their faith and for their Christianity. Paul himself was one of those who suffered, for he says there in verse 15, of the ungodly who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. And notice the words he uses, "and have persecuted us." He includes himself here. And what was Paul doing here as he writes to these persecuted Christians? No doubt to encourage them. He was surely reminding them of the fellowship that they had with the saints of God, that they were one with other believers and that they were not on their own. And brethren and sisters in Christ, there's a tremendous lesson here for us all in our times of trial and testings and the battles of life. And the lesson is this: we're not to forget about God's people. We are to remember our fellow Christians and the wonderful blessing of fellowship of other Christians. And we are to cleave to God's people. We are to fellowship with them. And by mutual fellowship with them, we will be helped, we will be encouraged to go on in the Christian life, to go on serving the Lord, no matter how severe the test was, or test is. And that's what Paul here was seeking to remind these Christians in Thessalonica, that they were not alone, and that they were part of the body of Christ, that great body of God's redeemed people. Others too were suffering for their faith. Others too were being tried and tested. And there was that bond, that common goal, that common unity, that oneness, that accord, that fellowship. And he was doing all this with a purpose to encourage them to go on living for Christ and go on serving God. And Christian, in the battles and the trials of life, remember the wonderful blessing of fellowship with God's people and the saints of God. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." And that speaks of how Christian fellowship is a help to us in the battles of life. The Bible tells us that the two is better than one. It tells us a threefold cord is not easily broken, and the thought is there's strength, there's blessing, there's help, there's encouragement through fellowshipping together with the saints of God in the battles and the trials of life. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 2, or back to Acts chapter 2, and you'll see this was very much a mark of the early New Testament church. Acts chapter 2, and remember, it was only a little handful of people by and large, and the world was arrayed against them. In Jerusalem, the Orthodox Jews were against them, but you'll see how they fellowshiped together, and there was strength in that for them as Christians. Look at Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 42. Look at their testimony. Notice what it says about them. It says, "And they continued steadfastly." They were steadfast in this. "In the apostles' doctrine," that's the teaching of God's word, notice it, "and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." My, they remained together, they bonded together with their fellow Christians, their fellow saints of God. Go on over the page to Acts chapter 4 and Look at verse number 23. Look at what it says about Peter and John. They had been persecuted. They had been put in prison. They had been got out of prison. What did they do immediately? Look at verse 23. It says, and being let go, notice it, they went unto their own company. They went to fellowship with their fellow Christians, their fellow saints. And there they were helped. There they were blessed. And there they were encouraged. Dear Christian, in the trials of life, remember the fellowship of the saints of God. And what does that mean for us as Christians? It means this: keep going to church in the battles of life. It means keep attending the prayer meeting in the battles and the trials of life. It means keeping in fellowship and in contact with our fellow believers in the Lord that we know in Christ. You think of the lamb that strays from the flock and gets isolated from the flock. That lamb becomes a very easy prey for the attack of the wolf or the attack of the fox. And the lesson there surely for us is very plain, that as Christians, when we stray from God's house, when we stray especially from the fellowship of the saints of God, the fellowship of the people of God, we become a very easy prey and a very easy target for the devil and for the pitfalls and the traps of the evil one. Yes, these believers here in Thessalonica had joy through the word of God. They had joy through fellowshipping with the saints of God. Notice something else here. You'll see that these Thessalonian believers had joy through the great hope, the glorious hope of heaven before them. And look at how Paul speaks of that in verse number 19 of the chapter. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Here is reminding these Christians of the glorious hope they had in heaven. In heaven they would be in the immediate presence of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And in heaven they would have the eternal company, the eternal companionship of all God's redeemed people. And I believe the scriptures make it very clear that we will know one another in heaven. The saints' knowledge in heaven will be perfect. And we will know one another in Christ in glory. And in heaven, these believers, yes, would be free from all sin, the curse of sin, free from all pain, all sorrow, all suffering, all persecution and death itself. They would be free from, yes, in heaven, they would be in that place of eternal, everlasting joy and everlasting life and everlasting bliss. And Paul reminds them here of this great hope. He says, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And dear Christian, tonight in the trials and in the battles of life, ever keep the joy of heaven before you. Never lose sight of the prize before you as a Christian. And you'll be helped, you'll be blessed, you'll be encouraged to go on in the Christian life. You'll be helped, you'll be blessed and encouraged to go on serving the Lord. You think of what David said as he thought of heaven, as he addressed the Lord in Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Think of the counsel of the Apostle Paul to the believers in the church at Colossae. He says, set your affection on things above. In other words, Christian, get our eyes upon glory, not on this world, not on our circumstances, but on heaven, the great prize before us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And go down to the end of that chapter, almost to verse number 17. And look at what Paul says there right into the next chapter. And here you see that he encourages God's saints through the prize of heaven, the glory of heaven. And heaven compensates for all the trials and the afflictions of this life. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse number 17, he says, for our light affliction, notice what he says, it's but for a moment in the light of eternity. The afflictions of this life are but for a moment. He says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, in other words, the things of this world are temporal, they do not last. But the things which are not seen, the things of heaven, are eternal. And then look at the next verse in the next chapter. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And you read through the letters of the Apostle Paul, and he never got away from this. The prize of the believer and glory. It was always in his mind, always in his focus, always in his gaze. And there's a lesson there for us, dear people. Never lose sight of glory. Never lose sight of that purchased possession, that purchased prize that Christ paid for in full when he cried out on the cross, it is finished. And there's no power on earth. There is no power in hell that can ever rob you and I or all God's people of heaven, of glory. It has been said that earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. Yes, he encouraged them through the word, through fellowship, through the hope of heaven. Notice something else here about these Thessalonian believers. They had joy, and it was through the ministry of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and in their lives. Go back to chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look there at verse number 6 of the chapter. Notice again what it says. He says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Note the words, with joy, or if you like, with joy through the Holy Spirit. In other words, by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, there was an outworking of joy in the lives of these Christians, even at a time of great, great trial, even at a time of great tribulation and persecution. There was joy in their hearts and lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and in their lives. And likewise, it is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers that we too can know joy in the times of great need. What does it say in the book of Galatians? It says, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's one of the marks of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the Christian, joy. And if we are to know that fullness of joy in our lives, then it's vital as Christians that we do not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives by sin or by disobedience to the Lord. The Bible warns us of that in Ephesians 4, verse 30. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed unto redemption. We're not to grieve or quench the Spirit. Also, it's vital that daily we pray and that daily we ask God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives as Christians. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And mark this verse in your Bible, believer. I'll encourage you to pray about this matter. Ephesians chapter 5, and go down to verse number 18 of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, and Paul here is writing to Christians, to the rank and file of the church, men and women, servants, slaves, husbands, wives, children. He's writing to all the believers here in the church in Ephesus. And look at what he says. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's something that applies to us all. We sung that great hymn at the beginning of our meeting, it all about the Holy Spirit in the life of the church, in the life of the believer, in the life of God's people. And day by day, as believers in Christ, let us seek to be those who honor the Lord at all times, but also let us pray day by day for that definite infilling of the Spirit of God, that outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us in our hearts and lives as God's people. This is something to pray for every day we kneel in prayer. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Make that your prayer, dear Christian, every day of your Christian life until God called you home to glory. pray that God would fill your heart and fill your soul with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he'll answer that prayer. And then no matter what trials come our way as Christians, as it says in the book of Nehemiah of old, the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. This is how it was with these believers in Thessalonica. May this be how it is also with you and I as believers in the battles and in the trials of life. We'll turn again, please, in our hymn book before we get down to prayer to hymn number 425. 425 in your hymn book. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, then my sky will have a gem. He's the sun of brightest splendor and the star of Bethlehem. 425 will stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, to take part, men and women alike, as the Lord leads. Just you launch out in faith, dear believer. The Lord will bless you, and the Lord will help you, and the Lord will make you a blessing even to others. Do remember the services on the Lord's Day. Pray for the Sunday school Bible class and the morning and evening meeting. Pray that the Lord will bless His word. Pray for the bringing in of new and young families from around the area. Pray for the salvation of sinners, the salvation of souls. Do please pray for the Consider Christ outreach this week up at the Balmoral Show. It commences tomorrow right through to Saturday. Pray that God will bless the literatures would be given out and contacts made. And then do pray for the outreach plan for Saturday the 20th of May down in Longford and Roscommon. Do remember Noel and Colin as well as they prepare for the mission at John Knox and the doors up in the Shankill Road area this week. Pray for that. Do remember our land and all of its need. And remember the sick and the sorrowing in your prayers as well. Do pray for Lily Parkinson. She's at home now from hospital and is improving, but still needs the Lord's touch. I remember her, but she's in good heart and rejoicing in the Lord's goodness to her. So pray that the Lord will strengthen her. Remember Mr. Ronnie McLean as well in your prayers at this time, and others connected with us here who need that touch from the Lord. But as the Lord leads, we don't want to tie you to these things. Remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad, and encourage as many as possible to pray right through about 20 past nine or so. Let us pour out our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Maybe ask our brother David Moore to lead us off in prayer, and then maybe also our brother Mr. Noel Foy, and then one after the other as the Lord leads us. Our brother David, and then Noel, and then one after the other as the Lord leads us in the time that is left.